Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansombrath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you? No snow this year so far.
I know. And my wife and I were all set to snowboard this weekend, and we were going to go to one of the smaller mountains, kind of get our bearings since we haven't been out all season, and it's going to rain. So, yeah, I'm really thrilled. Can you tell?
Oh, is that what they're saying, rain? I haven't even, like, looked that far into, like, what the weekend might hold. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I know, not too much fun with the winter sports this year so far, you know?
No, not at all.
It looks like, you know, it might be one of those years where we get all the snow in March. You know, just when you want, you know, when it's supposed to be over.
Well, there's only 4 weekends in March, so I may have to take a week off of work just to spend a week at a mountain because I'm behind schedule.
Oh, and people have been emailing me occasionally to ask me how your marriage is, and I'm like, well, let's go to the horse's mouth for this. I don't like to answer for her, so as far as I know, all's good. I'll ask her directly.
Yeah, no, we're all good. I nearly killed her a couple of times because she has been studying for her exams and she was grinding on my last nerve with all of her terminology and this and that and everything else. But I didn't kill her. Instead, I just helped her study. And so she took her final test. And now we got to wait 5 whole weeks for her to get results.
Wow. And so how does she think she did?
Well, Lisa will never, ever give herself the benefit of the doubt. She always thinks that she did worse than probably she did. But based on how her worst feelings are, I'm going to say 85% sure that she passed everything with maybe 15% of doubt. And the only reason why I have that 15% is because she keeps drilling it into my head that she didn't do as good as she thinks she did.
I think she did really good. Okay.
I think so.
I think she did really good. You know, she looks like she's done a lot of studying, and it's, you know, not just, you know, a coincidence that she's, you know, doing that great. It looks to me like she really has done her work. So, you know, I'm very proud of her.
I am too.
Let her know that. And, of course, it's always
hard to tell her that. You know what? Okay. She'll take it with a grain of salt for me. She'll, you know, I'll tell her that I'm private. She'll be like, you say that all the time. You know, but you say it, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Cindy's proud of me.
So. I know. I'm always proud of her. She knows that. She knows that. And, you know, I am so proud of her to have created this new career for herself, too, by the way.
Yes.
You know,
she's done good.
And she ends up loving it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she really does love what she does, you know.
Okay.
And our listeners, I just got a message.
What does she do? Okay.
Lisa is a set dresser, and she
and
works
for... What is a set dresser for those people who are not in the theater world?
Okay, so a set dresser is somebody who works with the props that you see in television and in movies. So when you see, let's say, you know, on SVU, when they go into somebody's apartment, my wife is the one that clears out that apartment and makes the apartment look the way that they need to make it look for the show, and then puts everything back together again once they've wrapped. Like, a lot of times people don't understand that, like, when you see, like, it's not all done on sets. and although she does build the sets when she needs to. But, yeah, so, like, you'll see, you know, cops go into an apartment. Chances are the apartment doesn't look like that naturally. They literally clear out all the owner's furniture. Sometimes they repaint the place. They make it look exactly the way that they need to make it look for the show. And then as soon as they're done shooting, they have to take out all of their belongings, bring in all of the owner's belongings, and repaint it back to the way that it was. And,
wow.
And yeah, so that's what she does. It's a lot of work. It's very physical work, but Lisa's tough, so she can do it. And yeah, she loves the people that she works with. She's not hopping from show to show or movie to movie. She's actually working on, if you ever watch Channel 2's FBI with Missy Peregrine and Jeremy Sisto and Zico Zaki, I believe is his name. She's actually been with that show since the show premiered. So she's been
wow.
on all two seasons of that show. And, They're negotiating the season three renewal now, and if the renewal goes through, then she will be joining them for season three.
Wow, that's interesting. I know one of my friend's daughter does that, and she said when they need a picture of a family, it's always her family in the picture. Not that anybody can
see
yeah. it, but it's always
yep,
her
exactly,
family.
Exactly. Well, what's even funnier about that, too, is that, like, I was watching an episode and Lisa started of the show that she works on, and Lisa started laughing. And I'm like, well, what's so funny? And when, because we have the live TV rewind. So when it got to commercial, she goes, rewind that. They needed people's names on a whiteboard in a hospital. And all of a sudden, I see Lisa, Jessica, and it was her crew. They put all their own names on the whiteboard. So there's Lisa F on the show.
Well, that's what I said. It's a lot of fun then, because she has her little secret thing she puts in there, you know? And one of my friends said, oh, did you watch Madam Secretary? Like, I was like 2 seasons ago. And I go, yeah, I always watch it. Did you notice the picture? And I go, no, well, that was my family. I go, well, I didn't notice it. Sorry.
You know what? You never do, though. Like, even like, there's a couple of times, you know, there was like a bring your wife to work day and they needed some extra people. So she's like, well, my wife is very handy. So, of course, I took the day off of my job to go with her to her job. And, you know, like I did the job for a day, and it is. It's very, very physical. It can be very, very tiring. And, you know, it's weird when you see it from those angles. And I remember, you know, then watching TV and seeing, like, oh, look, I put that there. And I remember one of the ladies that was designing the place, she was giving me a hard time about some books. And she kept going into the whole, you know, well, this person, she reads these books. They don't have to look perfect. We want them to be, you know, she lived here. It's lived in, and she likes this one more than that one. And she's going into like backstory and this and that. So I'm like, okay. And like literally just putting the books on the shelf the way that she wanted was just a feat in itself. And then I watched the episode of the show and I look at Lisa and I go, are you fucking kidding me? You can't even see my books. Like they're blurred out in the back. It's been a half an hour on those books, and I got blurred out in the back. What the fuck? So,
well, it's the same thing when you're designing a set for theater.
Oh, yes.
You'd obsess about something, and meanwhile, when you realize from the stage, you know, the audience, even on the front row, couldn't see it. Didn't really make a difference.
Yep.
But meanwhile, I obsessed about it. You know what I mean? That
yep.
it had to be perfect.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But it's kind of like, you know, in her mind, it had to be done this way, and so,
oh,
you know.
Yeah. But I was,
but,
like,
you know,
all
she
excited.
Did it.
I worked on a TV set, and, you know, I'm like, because I only did stage before, you know. Aside from when I was doing production work and I was behind the scenes, I didn't do the sets or anything, you know. I was doing reality TV, so it was different, you know, or stage. It's different, you know. The stage world is different than the television world. So here I am, like, oh, wow, it's my first television thing, and blah, 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 blah. And I was all excited to see my damn books, and my books were blurred. So,
well, and also, well, you know, in defense of her, you never know if they're going to blur this stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
I know,
they can
I know.
Choose
that's
to
all
do
post
it.
Production.
Well, how many
it.
People, like an extra in something, and they're all excited, or they got a part in the show, you know, and they got paid for it, but when it actually came down, like they were cut from
oh,
it,
yeah.
and it's like, oh. You know, that's the world of theater. You know, we don't know. We can't help with that. That's the way it is. But you see, that sounds like a very fun and interesting job. And, yep. you know, so everybody watch FBI because Lisa helps on that show, you know.
Well, watch FBI because my wife needs a J-O-B.
Yeah, so, like, we're going to watch it, like, live. Watch it live, please. You know, watch it live.
Yeah,
look at the Nielsen ratings.
So please watch FBI.
I know, because sometimes they don't – they count the Nielsen ratings as live. It's not like when people watch it later on. So, you
know,
people, please watch it live. You know, that way we know she has a job for a long time. You know,
exactly.
And, well, that was very interesting. And, of course, we've had a lot of listeners, and I see that they're waiting. And can you please inform them what they need to do if they want to talk to us?
But of course, so if you would like to speak to Cindy or myself this evening, please press the number 1 so that I get alerted to pick up your call. When I identify you, I'm going to identify you by the last 4 digits of your number so that you know that we're speaking to you once we pull you out. Same thing goes for in the chat room. And as usual, because we don't really have time to screen anybody prior to the show's start, I'm going to jump into the first caller, and I'm going to take the call that has been waiting the longest period of time. And then once Cindy says hello, I'm going to jump into the chat room to speak to some of you other people who wanted to press 1 tonight so that hopefully I can get you on the air. So right now we're going to go out to the first caller, and the last 4 digits of your number so that you know that we're speaking to you are 1813. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Christiana.
Hi, Christiana. What a pretty name. And where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Okay. We don't get that many calls from Minnesota. Okay. Are you Norwegian?
Norwegian? I think we're Scandinavian.
Oh, you're some sort of Scandinavian, but you're not sure where. Okay, because I'm half Finnish. Okay, so I always like to hear people from Scandinavia or Norway. So, interesting. So, you've been waiting a long time, so you must have something on your mind tonight. So, what would you like to talk to us about?
Does it have to be about relationships, or can I ask a different question?
You can ask anything you want. We just we do relationships, career, anything.
Well, I was curious to know if there are any helpful spirits on maybe on the other side that are there for me or ancestors or anything.
Okay. You actually have a father figure very, very prevalent in here. Do you know who that could be? I think it's one of your grandfathers, if I'm not mistaken here. Did you know him at all?
Not really. I have a few memories from when I was like a toddler.
Right. And
really little.
He tended to really like you, by the way, and has watched over you all these years. If you need any help, I would ask him sometimes because he's a very helpful guy. And, you know, do you ever talk to people on the other side, by the way?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. And because what I can see here is you're pretty psychic yourself. Are you aware that you have your own psychic ability?
To a certain extent, yeah.
I'm not sure you work on it at all, but if you wanted to,
I haven't been.
Okay,
yeah, I have in the past, but I haven't been for a while.
Okay. Did you get afraid or something? Because sometimes people get afraid, they stop.
No, I wasn't getting any clients, and nobody was interested, so I just kind of gave up, and I told Spirit, I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, if you guys want me to do this, then you got to start helping to bring, you know, people my way, because I'm not going to try again if it's just going to be the same story.
Okay, and again, even if you don't do it for a living, per se, you could benefit from it for yourself. Whose mom has passed away, by the way? You have a very strong mother figure came in to the room.
My mom's still alive.
It's not your mom. It's not. It's a mom figure. It's on your mom's side.
Grandma Bernadine.
Grandma. Yeah. Do you remember her at all? Very strong-willed woman.
Vaguely.
She's a strong-willed woman, and She's a little bit of a worrier. I don't know if she worried on Earth, but she's a little bit of a worrier. And, you know, she's – do you ever talk to her at all on the other side?
Yeah, her name's Bernadine, and then my grandpa's name would be Joseph, and he went by Kenny.
Right, because
so
I was going to say that. Because he laughed when you said his name. He goes, oh, I never went by that, you know, like – you know, I don't think anybody would ever remember it. And they, your grandmother, you know, they didn't have the easiest life. Did you know about that? They worked hard. It wasn't an easy life. And your grandmother doesn't per se miss life anymore. She misses people she loved. But life itself, not so much. But she watches over you a lot. You know, there's a lot of change in your cards is what I'm seeing here. Are you ready for some change? Because there's a lot of change here.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And how old are you, by the way? Because you sound very young to me.
I just turned 34.
Okay. So you are very young. And but there's major change in 2020. And your grandmother says she's hoping that you'll be ready for the change and embrace it. Because even in terms of your career, it looks like there's some changes there as well. Do you want any changes? Because there looks like changes in your career.
Well, I'm not working. I'm a student right now.
Okay, good. And so you are changing careers from what you did before?
Well, I'm going to school for marketing management, but I can't say that it's really my passion.
Yeah.
So.
And you realize that when you love something, you do it full wholeheartedly, but if you don't love it, you're not going to, you know, give it your all. Is there a reason you picked this,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not your passion?
Because there's, like, I thought, actually been thinking about becoming, like, a therapist, but... For one, I don't think I have enough funds, like money to complete that much schooling. And also, due to my history, I mean, there's some criminal history from when I was a teenager.
Yeah,
so,
when you were a bad kid, huh? But you're not bad anymore.
No.
You know, and
so that gets in the way to where I can't get into certain professions.
Okay, and that's a shame because, you know, a lot of times they're trying to change the law where if people got in trouble when they were teenagers, it kind of gets washed from their records, and maybe in your lifetime that'll happen, you know, if you don't continue to do it when you're older because, you know, your past shouldn't always be holding you back. And you're very good with people. And that's why, you know, there's many ways to help people. I think you want to help people. And
yeah, I am a life coach.
Right. So do you have clients doing the life coaching?
No.
I know. So.
I tried that too, and I failed.
Now, I wouldn't say you failed. I would say that's a very, very, very hard field to get started. It's not that you can't, but, you know, I have a lot of clients that have tried life coaching, and a lot of them haven't been able to make it work. There are some that have, but it's a new field, and so people aren't always familiar with it. So I wouldn't say you failed. I would say you picked a career probably that's kind of new, and maybe where you live there isn't such a demand for it. If you lived in New York City, you know, a lot of people in New York City use life coaches, so it might just be where you are. But I wouldn't say you failed, okay? Because what I'm seeing from your cards and what your grandma just said to me is the universe wants you to heal you. And so taking that, like doing the life coaching, doing your psychic things, didn't you find yourself having to work on yourself doing all of that?
Yes.
So yes. It looks like they may have wanted you to take that route so that you could help yourself. It's the same thing with like yoga teaching and things. Yoga teaching is there's a lot of hours and, you know, of readings and things to do. And a lot of people that take a yoga teaching course, never teach it, but they learned so much from it, and the universe wanted them to learn it. So it will do well with you in your other job that you're doing. So, you know, don't think you're 34. You may go back. You may do the life coaching part-time, which is kind of like a therapist in many ways, so you can do what you wanted to do in the future as well. And you said you're studying marketing, right?
Marketing management, yep.
Okay, and that will help you if, you know, maybe you needed to learn how to market things a little better. Maybe that's why it didn't.
Yeah, that's why I went into it. Yep.
So I think you may use your marketing for your business, so your life coach or something else. So it looks like you're coming full circle, but ultimately you have a very good five-year period opening called the world, and the universe would really like you to know that you had a lot of courage when you were little. Don't get discouraged. But let's not use the word failure. Oftentimes, older souls are not very good at marketing, and I don't think you marketed it properly. So part of our skills as older souls is to learn how to market. So you're learning how to market it. You look like a really good five-year period opening up here. And, you know, being that you had a little trouble during your teen years, maybe you could be specialize in helping life coach, you know, younger people too, who could really benefit from what you learned and what you know. You know, your cards look actually very good here, really good in terms of your life. And you also have a woman that wasn't that old that died that wants to talk to you. Do you know who that is?
She was a friend?
Yes. Do you remember her?
Sheila?
Well, okay. And do you ever ask her for help?
Is it Sheila?
Yeah, and she's crying a little bit, by the way, because, you know, you were a good friend and she misses you. And she would she's around you a lot. Do you ever sense or feel her near you?
I think about her. And I wonder what led her to, you know.
Do what she did.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you could have helped her more if you knew what was going on?
Yeah, if I would have stuck around and remained her friend, but I decided to stop communicating with her just because of some of her choices in life.
Okay, and she's asking you to stop feeling guilty about it, please. You know, your intention in not being hanging around with her, it was self-love and self-preservation, because I don't think what she was up to was good for you. And to teach and instruct her that you didn't want to be a part of some of her activities. She's very peaceful now, by the way. She's very peaceful. She misses you. She's the girl you knew before a lot of the trouble came into her life. Do you remember her laughing a lot? Because she laughs a lot from the other side.
Yeah.
So she's that girl.
I remember her laugh.
She laughs.
I remember that laugh.
That's what she's doing now. She's just laughing. She said, look, I screwed up a lot in that lifetime, and I'm in spirit now. I'm getting a lot of spirit training, and I'll do better the next time. But, you know, she's really been assigned to watch over you very, very closely. She's down on Earth about 100 hours a month, as all dead people are permitted. And they're permitted down on Earth, you know, to visit. She likes music, so when you listen to music, she tends to be around. So, you know, she likes that.
Oh,
you
got my crazy music?
Uh-huh. She doesn't care, crazy, whatever. She doesn't care. She likes to see you happy, too. And, you know, she said you couldn't have saved her, okay? Don't feel bad about that. It wasn't your job to save her. You had to save yourself at that point. Do you realize that? You had your own issues you needed to work on. And take care of you. You know, she did make a lot of bad choices, and she said if she's still on Earth, she would continue to make bad choices. So it seems like God kind of saved her from that path. Like, if we're older souls and we start making a lot of mistakes and doing a lot of bad stuff, sometimes God makes a decision to yank us up so that we don't devolve in this lifetime and start incurring more and more negative karma. And she's asking you not to have any guilt anymore about her death. And, you know, listen, music, laugh, talk to her. And when you think about her, and I'm glad that you brought up Sheila, because when you think about her, it isn't always you just thinking about her. When we think about dead people, sometimes it's them putting a thought in our head to remind us about something. So anyone listening, and including you because you're very psychic, from now on when you have a thought, figure out, was there something that triggered that thought and made me think about the person? Because say she had a particular car, and then you see that model car. Of course, that would be a trigger to think about her. But if you're just sitting there and out of the blue, something you guys did together pops in your head, that's probably not your thought. It's probably hers talking to you and trying to remind you of something fun or interesting.
Yeah, so, remember we used to play bingo?
So what's your bingo message? And, you know, sometimes if you're playing bingo or you just see the word bingo, it'll be a thought from her. But other times if you're just thinking about bingo, why is it, you know, in the middle of the day to think about bingo is kind of a weird thing to think about. So that would be her talking to you. And
yeah.
I don't want to hear you ever say anymore that you failed, because oftentimes we take a lot of routes, like my career now to be a tarot card reader and whatever, took a long and convoluted route to get here. But every skill that I picked up helped me with this. So, and people are going to have 3 to 5 careers in the new millennium. So, and they're going to try. But remember, the life coaching is something you can pick up, and maybe you'll market yourself, and you need to do some podcasts and get clients, you know, that you could do via Skype or FaceTime, not necessarily in your neighborhood. You know what I mean? The world is pretty big now with podcasts. And
yeah, I've done Blog Talk Radio. I had a show actually.
Good. And keep doing things like that, you know, and maybe do your life coaching a little bit on the side or try things on the side. But Sheila said she'll have a lot of fun helping you. So, you know, if you want help, ask her. You know, she gets bored up there. So she said, I'll help you with anything I can help with. And, you know, I'm glad you called in, because maybe you just needed to hear some confirmation that you didn't fail, that you may find yourself being in a therapeutic vein, helping people with life coaching. And it's probably a better way to help. I mean, when you're a therapist, your hands are kind of tied as what you can say and do to help people. There's a lot of protocol.
Yeah, that's true.
So being a life coach, or what I do when we help people, I'm not tied to certain things that I have to do. So it may be that God didn't want you to take a more traditional path to being a therapist, but more went outside of, you know, the box a little bit. So look at it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it just wouldn't be what you're meant to do. So marketing, all older souls, I tell them they should learn how to market, because, you know, in this day and age, you can't build it and they come. You got to build it and slick it up and they come. So I think you're going to learn to slick it up a bit and then visit your followers. Call in again and let us know. And, you know, I'm so glad you called in from so far away, because we don't get that many callers from your state. So it's interesting.
What is your name again?
My name is Cindy. And Nicole is my producer and my co-host and my friend.
Hi.
And we've been doing this show since 2008. So, you know, we've been around here a long time. So call in again and let us know if you get any signs from Sheila, please, or if you feel her presence around you. And she is really a lovely spirit. I mean, she's a lot of fun from the other side. Okay, so, you know, let her be the fun spirit around you.
Okay.
And good luck to you, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, isn't it funny how sometimes we always tend to say, oh, we failed, we didn't do it, rather than, you know, and a lot of times it's not a failure. It's a long and winding road.
No, you didn't. You just found a way not to do that.
Right, or it just wasn't the right
timing.
Yeah, for it.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, but listen, you know, what's great though is that at least she was able to say, well, you know what, I didn't succeed, or you know, even if fail is the wrong word, at least she went for it. At least she took a shot. so many people out there, and I'm even guilty of this, so many people out there just never try because they're afraid of failing, you know? So at least she took her shot and she went out there and, you know, and she went for it. And you know, I mean, at least she took the risk. And you know what? If it didn't pan out this time, you know, and if she keeps plugging away, she's eventually going to hit something that's going to stick, you know? So, I mean, in that respect, you know, everybody should follow her lead and just be like, you know what? You're going to fail automatically if you don't take the chance in the first place. So you're already one step ahead of the game by taking the chance.
And remember what I told you about the dead, and I say it oftentimes, they don't regret doing things. They don't regret having fallen in love. They regret they didn't try. You know, even if it didn't work out with the love, they just regret that they didn't give it a try. And they thought of woulda, coulda, shoulda. Nobody regrets having tried and it didn't work out. They regret that they didn't try. So that's a little bit different. So let's, you know, work on, you know, not thinking if it didn't work out or pan out just now. Remember, life is long. The career that you may have wanted when you were 20 and for some reason you couldn't do it, you can always do it later on in your life. Okay, so, you know, remember, I'm always saying you're not too old and it's not too late.
Try again later. Maybe if you try to pick it up again later, you'll have more of the life experience that you need to make it work this time.
Exactly. And, you know, keep, you know, I just hope she'll call in again and keep us posted with what's happening.
Yes, I hope so, too.
All right. So you want to go to the next person who's waiting?
Yes, ma'am. And we're going to shoot out to Suzanne. And Suzanne.
Is this my Suzanne? Is this my
Suzanne
that I love so much?
You read 6 months ago. You read Suzanne about 6 months ago. And when you read Suzanne about 6 months ago, you had some things to say about Suzanne's son. So the first thing that Suzanne wants to talk about is how everything you said about her son actually came true. So she'd like to tell you a little bit about that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. First of all, sometimes I'm not glad to hear if it's bad news, but I don't think there was anything bad about her son. But I'm always glad to hear that. It was right. It was accurate, even if
Absolutely. So, yeah, so Suzanne wants to talk about that, Cindy. But also, now that you've basically given her the lay of land with her son, she's got some questions about her daughter. So here we go out to Suzanne in New York.
Okay, great.
Hello, Suzanne. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy.
It's my Suzanne. I love her.
It is your Suzanne.
I've known Suzanne, like, I don't know. How many years do I know you now? 15 or more?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's 20.
20, yeah. Right? About 20 years. Could you imagine?
20 years. Yeah.
20
and
years.
You've been dead on accurate every time you read me.
And remember with your daughter that we were talking about is – she used to always say, am I going to get this? Am I going to get that? Am I going to get this? And everything she wanted, she got. And I'm always like, by now, don't you know you get what you want? You know?
So true. But again, you know, it's always the timeline thing with her.
I know. Well, her karmic lesson is patience.
Yeah,
you know?
It sure is.
Well, patience.
You know how little she has.
And anyway, with your son, did his career pan out now?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Every single thing you promised and you said was coming came.
Yes. Well, that was an easy read that day. That was an easy read that day.
He was going to have two choices, and he did. He had to make a choice.
And did he make the one that it makes you feel happy with it, because he should?
Oh, yeah. He's really happy. Really excited. Really excited. You told me that he'd be everything would be just happening all at once, and it did. He's buying a house, and he's just waiting for a closing date, and, yeah, his relationship, everything, like, boom, 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 just like you said.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad for him. Now, with Megan, what's the story with her now?
Oh, no, you know, the same thing. She's ambivalent. She's not sure about having another child, and she wants one, but she's not sure if it's going to happen. So I was just curious.
Okay, now I'm laughing with her because she wasn't sure she was going to finish college. She wasn't sure she was going to get married. She wasn't sure she was going to get a teaching job. She wasn't sure she was going to get pregnant the first time and the second. She was not sure. And meanwhile, everything she wants happens. And the only reason this one might be not happening is because she's not sure which she wants. And so the universe is like, if she was 1,000% sure she wanted to get pregnant, she'd be pregnant in a minute. But because she has some mixed feelings about it, and, you know, she's a working mom. I can understand why she might, part of her wants another child, but part of her wonders, you know, I'm already tired, exhausted, you know, trying to be, have a big house and my children and my husband and look good and work good and do everything perfect. I could see she's a little worried. Can she handle another child fully? So on this one, she might as well just enjoy being able to have sex without worrying, because if she gets pregnant, it's good. And if she doesn't, it's all good too. But she has to be clear on it, because the universe is trying to figure out, what does she want? Okay. And if she really was 100%, you know, sure she wanted another child, she would be pregnant very quickly. Okay. And does her husband want another one at this point?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. And does he want it more than her?
No, I think it's the other way around, but, you know, who knows?
Right. And it just looks like there's a part of her that's tired and,
yeah,
and already kind of overwhelmed. I mean, if she had a gazillion dollars and could have a live-in nanny and housekeeper, I don't think there'd be any question here that she would have another child or another five, okay? But because so much falls on her, and because your daughter is an older soul, with, she does the law of maximum effort for everything. And there's a point where if you're going to have more than two kids, you got to be a person that doesn't care if something's messy, or sometimes the kids go out looking like hell because sometimes you just don't have the time to have them all looking great. You know, that's going to be hard on her. She's kind of a perfectionist. And
yes, she is.
And, you know, I don't think she could change that aspect of her personality.
No.
But that's why, you know, has she been trying to get pregnant and it's not happening?
Yes.
Okay. And again, you know, there's nothing wrong with her physically. I mean, she could get pregnant in a heartbeat. It's just all of her fears. And God is actually being very kind to her. Because, you know, sometimes God, you know, punishes us. He gives us what we wish for. If, you know, she may wish for another child, but it may put her over, you know, just too much for her. So it's kind of like, just tell her, if she, you know, with her mixed messages, just making the universe, you know, keep this at hold for a little bit. You know, she's young enough that, you know, a year isn't going to make much difference here, but they want to be sure that this is what she really wants.
Okay. Yeah.
And make her happy. You know, and again, when she wants something, she gets it. Always.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just that the little one, you know, is out of diapers now, and so I think she's ready.
Right, to do it now, and tell her to relax, and, you know, my prescription to her and her husband will love it, is just make love and have fun, and like, and leave the rest up to God, you know.
Got it.
You know, and you know, she's a wonderful mother, and I've loved watching her grow up, by the way. I've loved watching her grow up.
She is a good mommy.
And she's my example to people when I tell them, you know, there's certain people that have worried, and meanwhile they've manifested everything. And so she's an example. And I just remember all the years reading her, well, I'm never going to get a husband. I'm never going to. And I'd be like, oh, yes, you are. You know, so I'm so glad that I get to know her. And I'm going to tell my listeners how I know you from one of my neighbors that I just love, and they were Filipinos.
Yes.
And boy, I love those. Their kids were like my favorite kids in the universe. They were so cute. They were so smart, and they were little. They were like really little. And one time I ran over this sprinkler head in my house, and it started like sprouting like a geyser. And their little son was only three, and he came running across the court to say, you want to come over my house till the trouble blows over? He was so cute. Like, you should have seen his face. It's like, oh my God, you're in trouble. His face was like unbelievable. And they were always cute. And I worked a lot of hours, so I didn't have too much time to go in the pool. But whenever I went in the pool, because they didn't have one at the time, I would ask the kids if they want to come in the pool. And they would all like ask their grandma, because she was watching them. And they'd all get their own towels, their own bathing suits, and they're little. and come over, and they'd all be in the pool with me and the three of them. And I'd always go, who's alive? Check. Make sure everybody's alive. Who's alive? Are you alive? Like, just as I was watching, okay, put your hands up if you're alive, you know, to let them know I'm watching them. And I had so much fun with them. And when they moved away, it was sad. So,
yeah.
But I got you. I still got you after that.
You did get me. She tweaked me.
Yep. And also, now you always ask about your children. And how is your job doing?
That's what I was going to ask you for a second. I'm not quite sure. The business itself is not doing well. So I'm curious to see if you see anything for the next few months.
Well, it looks like you've got a job for the next few months. But are you looking for something else ultimately?
I am. I am.
I see, like, you know, it'll be there for as long as you need it to be there. Because you're going to find something pretty soon. Probably within the next 2 months. Now, I don't know if you wanted to stay till they closed up or you're going to, you know, how about worrying about you for a change?
Right. Because, I'm not quite sure which way to go.
Well, I would, if I were you, I would start looking, and if you found something, just go. Because, I mean, you know, you remember with one job that, you know, I had predicted, you know, I came into your place of work to do the readings, and like, oh my God, I'm in your place of work telling you that they're all going to screw you over. You know, I was never so uncomfortable in my whole life than to be in, like, someone's place and telling them, oh, they're all going to screw you over, okay?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened.
That's what happened, okay? And in this instant, I don't see that they're going to try to screw you over because they like you. I just think things might just get out of hand, you know, where it's not they're not doing it on purpose. They're not trying to hurt you. They're not trying to screw you over. But I think they're really drowning here. And that the problems are deeper than maybe they even know, or maybe there's some denial here. So
I think it's mostly denial because it's pretty black and white. You know, people lie, but numbers don't.
Right. And they just keep thinking they're going to bail this out, but it might be just one day they just have to close up. And it's not, they're not doing that because they knew they were going to close up, you know, a month from now. It's just because there's no more money to keep it open.
Exactly. And, you know, I see that happening.
And I think they want it to work, and they don't want to have to lay people off. And they're, you know, their hearts are in the right place here. It's different from the other job that I saw. I don't think it's bad hearts or any of that, or greediness. I just think they want it to work, but I can't see how they're going to bail this thing out here. You know.
Yeah, it's definitely underwater, and things are not improving. So.
No, and, you know, so just start looking, and if you find something, take it, because there's no guarantee here with these people that, you know, you won't come in one day and they're going to, you know, on Monday and they're going to say, look, we're closing up here.
Right.
We're sorry.
That's
I think I don't want you to be there, because it's always harder to find a job when you're not working.
Absolutely.
And you have a little more leverage, and, you know, and I want the next job for you to make a little more money, please. And in Long Island now, they can't ask you your salary anymore. Yes. Okay. Because older souls tell the truth, and, you know, they might've been willing to pay you 90,000, but I'll just make up figures, but you're only making 60 now and they pay you 62, but they were willing to pay 90, you know? So, so, you know, it looks to me the next job is a little more money. So.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, and nothing looks bad in your cards. It doesn't. It looks like just, you know, keep looking. And again, if you give mixed messages, well, I don't really want a job yet because this one isn't over. It's going to be hard for you to find one. So we're just going to go in there with like, okay, my days are numbered here.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel in the back of my head. To be honest with you, it's my intuition is telling me that.
And remember, you've had a lot of readings for a 20-year period. And
yes, I have.
My job is to have my clients have their own intuition, and I believe that they do get it, okay? And and you're true. Yeah. You know, we just sometimes don't want to see the writing on the wall.
Right.
You know, denial is a very, very strong human trait, to just deny stuff. But in 2020, what's been channeled to me is this is a year of clear vision and no more denial. Like, teach your clients to not practice denial, and don't pussyfoot around it. If you see something, say it, let them see it. And again, I'm not saying these are evil people by any means. I'm just seeing, you know, they just don't have the capacity to bail it out at this point. You know,
no,
they're still hoping for like a miracle somehow. Do you know what I mean? But they're not really doing anything to earn a miracle. So miracles don't come without great effort.
Right. And they keep plugging up one hole and then another one spouts. So.
Right. And after a while, it's going to be, you're in the Titanic is the best way to describe it.
That's exactly how I feel. And I only have a Dixie cup to empty the water from the boat.
and I don't think they're going to save the women and children first. Okay.
No, I get that.
So, at this point, you know, find your own life jacket and, you know,
got it.
Get out of there. And
I have been. I've been looking. So you think it'll come within the next 2 months?
It looks there. It just looks like there's a job waiting for you. So that's why I'm trying to tell you that job will
Perfect.
Be gone if you wait 3 months.
I've been just looking and looking and looking and applying to everything. So,
all right. And tell God you want to have a job that this is the one to you, like retire. Like,
that's my goal.
You know,
that's my goal.
Just get used to it. I know you were born in a time when, you know, you remember your parents had the same job for, you know, their whole life or whatever.
Exactly.
It's not like that anymore. People are lucky if they have a job that doesn't, you know, if you're in private, you know, industry, every 3 to 7 years, you're going to look for another job. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And that's where I'm headed. I'm almost 7 years here.
I call it, so that's the outer limits. 3 to 7. And it's time to move. So you'll let me know. Of course, you have my email, my message, or whatever. Just
of
let
course.
Me know how it is. And I'm so glad to hear from you and tell your beautiful daughter hello for me. And
Will do that, Cindy.
And when you get a chance, send some pictures over, you know, email me or message them of the babies, because I'd love to see them.
You got it. I will do that.
Okay, thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and Nicole.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, I'll tell you how I got a message from my brother that passed away yesterday. My neighbor seemed to be having a lot of commotion going on next door. And they have these, like, little bit of oil tanker things there. And I'm like, that looks like an oil leak of some sort. And I'm like, And I heard my brother go, because my brother used to deliver COD oil for my parents, okay? They had a COD oil company. And my brother goes, go over and ask him. So I went over and asked him. I said, what happened? And it was kind of a freak thing where the filters were defective in his oil burner. And actually, they've been recalled, the filters, and made an oil spill in his basement. And I said, oh, I know why my brother Gary would want me to hear about that, because one time, and this is a story that we learned to laugh about, but it wasn't very funny when it happened, he delivered oil to the wrong house. And although it had a place where you could put the oil in, they had changed over to gas, and he delivered 200 gallons of oil into someone's basement.
Oh my God.
And so I heard my brother and my father from the other side saying, this is when we're glad we're dead, because we don't have to deal with oil spills and stuff like that, you know. But it was one of those things that I knew he kept saying, go ask him what happened, go ask him. So, you know, my brother just wanted me to laugh about that story, because we used to laugh about it all the time later on, you know, like 10 years after it happened. Nobody laughed for the first 10 years because it cost a fortune to have that clean up, you know. But
I'm sure it did.
It was one of those days, oops, you know, oops, what a mistake. I tell you, they give us messages that usually make us have a laugh.
Yep.
So we have Catherine. Do I know her at all?
I did not ask if you knew her, but Catherine is also calling us from New York. We do have about 10 minutes left, by the way, everyone. And basically, Catherine has got a work-related question. She wants to know what your thoughts are on her collaborating with this gentleman that she's considering. Now, not love interest sort of thing, but they have in his initials, she wanted me to tell you, are LB. Not sure if that has any significance when you play the cards for her. But he has made promises that, you know, that he's going to be able to bring people onto the project, that he can, you know, he's making certain productions and certain promises that he can produce. And, you know, she's not really sure whether or not he's going to, whether or not his mouth is writing checks that he's not going to be able to cash. So, so we're going to go out to Catherine. She's going to explain a little bit more about that situation. But Cindy, in her cards, do you see this guy producing or is he full of crap?
I see
full
of crap,
Catherine, you're on the air.
Talk a little bit more.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm sorry for the loss of your brother, by
the
way. Oh,
thank you so much. And he was like my hero and my savior, so it's been a hard year without him, but he does tend to make me laugh instead of making me cry when I think about him. So thank you so much. Now, I'm not seeing great things on LB here, okay? And I got the card where you want to put those blinders on. And maybe not see what's going on. Remember, we were talking with Suzanne and the call before, and the alignment of cards I see here is similar to what I kind of saw when she had her last job, like where it wasn't all good going on there. I think he means well, and he's very charismatic, this man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he talks such a good game, but it looks like when push comes to shove, he wants you to be a business partner because you're what I call the donkey person. You're the person who's going to do the work of eight people. And he's kind of like the bullshit artist. It like doesn't do the work of one person, but needs a donkey person. So he wants you to be on board because he knows you'll put in all the efforts. But if you're going to take on a partner who's going to do less than one job, you know, and if it's a small business or a small project and it's two people, you both have to be donkey people. You both have to do the work of 16 people or it doesn't work. It doesn't look like he'll put anything in writing, by the way. And
wow.
You know, and it just looks like you would do most of the work. So I don't know. Do you want a partner that you have to do most of the work for it with?
I mean, if he'd even bring the people on board and I could work with them and then kind of pull him, you know, put him to task when I need him, then that might be okay.
Okay, but you have to put this in writing, what his job is, what his... Yeah. Are you 50-50 partners at this point? I mean, you know...
Not yet. It's very new. He's got like an overview of my projects. And he says he likes the overview, and he'll reach out to these people that he knows to, you know, make a team up, I guess you could say, in order to make the project happen.
Okay, so what you want to do is not think like a woman. You want to think like a man in business and have him write up the proposal, have the stuff, and then see what's there. You know, like not agree to do this with him without seeing things in writing, like this is what he plans on doing or whatever. Because if you do it without, you know, a real proposal, something he's just talking about, you may find this doesn't move forward enough. I mean, and he has to be willing to introduce you to some of these people too, don't you think?
Oh, like, yes,
enough
definitely.
To introduce you to them. So,
yeah.
You know, has he talked about any of that?
He said he would like connect us, like so in other words, he would send over my project overview to you know, to them, and then, you know, it's up to them what they say, you know.
So why don't you let him do that and see where that goes? You know, take it like one step at a time. Do you know what I mean? Let's see, because that may not come to be. Or, you know, maybe you don't want to work with those people also. So, you know, he seems very charismatic. Do you agree with that? Like, he's got a lot of charisma, this man. And do you know anything about his track record in past endeavors?
He seems very good. He seems like, you know, I've looked him up online and he seems good. Very... task oriented, it seems. That's why I contacted him, actually. I don't know, is it something in the stars that I'm just, because I just let somebody go who basically made the same promises
I think it's your lesson. And one of my clients, by the way, I saw similar cards with this, and he was partnering with someone who was literally a billionaire, okay? And I won't say where he was from, okay, because it's not from our country. Mm-hmm. And if you Google this man's name, there would be no way in hell you would think this man's going to screw him over, okay? He's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this person worked for this man for a year with no money. And at the end of the year, there was still no money.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's like, okay, who would think that would happen? But, you know, with you, I just see, you know, you let the one person go. And I want you to trust your gut. What's your gut on this man?
Yeah, I liked him. I liked him if he, you know, if he just says even, you know, does even half of what he said. I feel I could, like you said, you're right, I am a donkey
person, and you're going to do the work of eight people. So he's got nothing to lose here with you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he knows you're going to do what you say, because older souls do what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's looking for a way to make money and not work that hard. And again,
okay.
if he gives you those contacts and they come through. So I would just take it one step at a time a little bit with him. Let's see what he does. Let's see if he comes through with connecting you with these people and, you know, things like that. And it looks like there's money to be made in this project, so I don't think he's stupid, okay? I think it's a good project here. But and how much money does he want from this? Does he want half of it? Like, did you discuss any of that?
No, we haven't, you know, gotten that far yet. We've just had the first phone call and a few email exchanges. And, you know, that's it. We're planning on, you know, meeting face-to-face soon. And I'm waiting to hear back if from him to say, you know, this person agreed and wants to talk to you, or, you know, or no, they're not interested.
Okay, and just take it one step at a time. But before you get involved, you have to make sure everything's in writing. We talk about that all the time at the show. Because older souls are people of their word. Like, if you say you're going to do something, you do it, okay? People could bank on it, okay? They could bank on it. But not everybody's you. So you want to have everything spelt out in writing. You know, what's your jobs, what's he's expected to do. This way there'll be no misunderstandings. And, you know, it's a great project here, by the way.
Thank you. Another person contacted me about it because she had heard of it before. Her name starts with the letter F. Do you think she might be a little bit better?
Well, she does look like somebody you can explore too. I mean, I would try both of them. You're not under obligation to do one or the other yet, don't you think? It's
right.
Just like, I mean, older souls were very loyal. Like, if we, you know, you're doing business with one person, you don't want to have someone else. But if I were you, I would explore all the options here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe she has better contacts. Maybe she could make it go further, too. Like, she contacted you, so that means, you know, rather you contacted the other person, you know. So
right.
See, you know, with her, she looks like she has a lot of good ideas, that woman.
Okay.
And you know, don't do anything that you don't feel comfortable with fully. And what you learned it from the last person you let go. And what was the story there? You know, like, the person didn't do what they said they were going to do?
Oh, my goodness. She came on like gangbusters. And
then, yeah, the bigger the talk. Uh-huh.
And then, like, vanished into thin air. I was like, I had to explain, you know, I haven't heard from you. You know, please remember you signed an NDA. You know, the whole thing. I'm like, you know. And she looked for me. She had a mutual contact get in touch with me, like, you know, I'm introducing her to you, you know, for possible work together. And yeah, met with her. She seemed fine. And then, yeah, just wouldn't even return a phone call.
Yeah, the ghosting. We call that ghosting on the show. It's not just in relationships and business. You'll just ghost and disappear, you know. Which is just a riot. They just disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just disappear.
Yeah.
Okay, no comment, no nothing. And sometimes people, when they come on with gangbusters, like, they talk a good game. You know, that's younger souls mm-hmm. are very good at bullshitting, but when it comes down to doing the work and being there, they're not there. So,
yeah.
you know, just take, you know, take it one day at a time, but don't be afraid to, like, ask a lot of questions of both people. And, you know, you talk to people and you see what they actually come up doing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that will show you which one to do with if either one of these are the best person for you. So, you know, just you have a great project and don't waste time with people that aren't doing what they say they're going to be doing.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
let us know. Call in and let us know what happens with this. And, you know, trust your gut a little bit. But start seeing, you know, who comes forward with what they say they're going to do.
Thank you.
Not just the talk. You know, not just the talk, you know,
mm-hmm.
where,
yeah,
and I'm so glad that, you know, you called into us because, you know, we're really here sometimes to teach people to just ask the questions. Don't be afraid to, like,
mm-hmm.
question people or, you know, see what they can do before we, like, jump on board with them.
Right. Wow.
Be sure to call in again to us, though, and let us know how this works out.
Thank you. I definitely will. Thank you.
And
you're
so kind.
With your project. Thank you, both of you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Catherine.
So we're kind of at the end of our show, and
we
you know,
are.
Could you imagine
we're
going to
pick up soon.
In about a minute. And could you imagine when I did had to read Suzanne at her job, and the owners are all there, and all I know is the owners are going to fuck everybody over here. And I'm like, oh, my God. I have to tell all these workers to watch their back, and it all came down. You know?
That's funny.
I remember, you know, I'm a nice person. I'm in, like, somebody's house or somebody's business. I don't want to, like, be disrespectful, you know? But I was like, oh, boy, I got to warn these people because they're all going to be out of work, every one of them. That's what happened.
Exactly
so,
what happened.
That's exactly what happened. Well, good night for now because they're going to knock us off in about 20 seconds.
They
thank
will
you
knock
for
us off in a second.
Right.
Thank
we'll
you,
Cindy.
As
week.
Always, excellent job tonight.
Good night, everybody. Bye.